Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Banca Transilvania third quarter 2017 financial results conference call. I will now hand over to your host, Mr. Ömer Tetik, CEO, Mrs. Mihaela Nădășan, IR and FI Executive, Mr. George Călinescu, CFO, and Ms. Luminița Runcan, CRO. Sirs, madam, please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you very much for joining us today, where we will be presenting the third quarter results of Banca Transilvania and Banca Transilvania Group, financial group. As you know, we have been coming with couple of news recently, including the, let's say, ongoing discussions about our transaction, or let's say, ongoing process and progress. I would like to start, as usual, with a brief view about Romanian macroeconomics and also Romanian banking system, because on the especially on the macroeconomic side, there are, let's say, different numbers which are might be confusing both for the market participants and also analysts. But yesterday, we have seen that the GDP of Romania continued its ascending trend, and Romania is one of the highest growing countries in the world already. I guess the highest growing country in Europe, with a 7% growth of gross domestic products. Definitely, this is coming from consumer demand and consumer spending. That's why there is also inflationary pressures, which are more or less in line with the increase of interest rates. So that this year, probably the inflation will be over 2.6%-2.7%, slightly higher than the six-month ROBOR, which is more or less the market benchmark. And next year, we are thinking that the inflationary pressures plus slight increase of interest rates might continue. The recent increase in the exchange rate, euro lei, we consider that it is coming both from internal political discussions, some pressures arose, but also usually before the end of the year, because of the high demand, growing imports, preparing for the holiday seasons. This is more or less a let's say, common trend, a traditional trend. We don't expect a high increase or jump or actually even decrease in the exchange rate towards the end of the year. And next year, we will see quite a stable exchange rate, well controlled by the National Bank, which has enough foreign exchange reserves to cover six or more than 6 months of imports. The banking assets are growing further. Definitely, the net growth, when we look at the final numbers, doesn't show the effort itself, because all the banks, including ourselves, as you know, continue write-offs to reach the desired, recommended NPE, non-performing exposures ratio of 6.5% or below. The banking system assets in the first 9 months grew 1.3% on the net, excluding the write-offs, as I said, and the NPL ratio already at 8.3%. We think that in the last quarter, all the banks, especially the larger banks, will make extra effort to reach the recommended level. The good news about the third quarter is that corporate loans started growing as well. It's not just consumer or housing loans, and we see that more and more demand. This is reflected in our balance sheet as well, but in general, in the banking system assets, we see this. But as we consider healthier trend of local currency lending continues, so already local currency lending is a bigger, much bigger portion of the loan books. So that loan performances and the customer's exposure to foreign currency risk is much more diminished as compared to pre-2008-2000 period sometimes, and we see that analysts are comparing. As regard to Banca Transilvania, we are glad to announce that our total assets reached almost 55 billion. We are at 54.9 billion, with a high capital adequacy ratio of 20.3%. If you look at our budgeted numbers, actually at the end of September, we are more or less at the budgeted numbers, figures for asset growth and profitability. So the fourth quarter shall come on top of this. This is helping us to consolidate our market share position and definitely our usual financial performance in terms of profitability. Thanks to increase in the revenues, but also the impact on the cost of risk, on the provisioning items, our cost of risk has stabilized or decreased to 16 basis points, 0.16%. This is mainly due to the recoveries and NPL sales impacting the provision numbers. If you would look forward, we think that our cost of risk in the next years to come should be 120 to 140 basis points, including the IFRS 9 impact. Our net interest margin is at 3.2%, and cost income ratio, which you see at the presentation, if you had a chance to look at, at around still about 49%, is actually also impacted by a change of bookings, because we were calculating the portfolio sales when we were saying that we are targeting 45 or even below percent cost income ratio. We were thinking that these items of recoveries, high recoveries plus revenues from NPL sales will impact or booked as other incomes, which went to provisioning, positively decreasing the cost of risk. So if you would have included the impact of those recoveries and NPL sales as another income item, our cost of risk would be around 46%. Our cost income ratio would have been at 46%. Sorry. We have continued our optimization efforts. Definitely we are investing at the technologization of the bank, and our number of mobile banking, online banking users, number of transactions, and average ticket size of transactions is increasing. So we started also in the third quarter of 2017 a network optimization where we have upgraded, renovated 80 locations and merged almost 50 locations, 48 units with those locations or other units, so that our network decreased almost 10%. And we are in the process of further consolidation and optimization of our network. Although we don't have a target, we are following definitely the performances, approximately usage of mobile banking and number of customers in the related areas. In the first quarter of the first 9 months of this year, we have also written off 680 million lei of loans. With the help of our recovery efforts and growth of portfolio plus write-offs, our NPE ratio decreased down to 7.3%. And if you look at NPL ratio, PAR 90, it is around 3.64%. Our main growth has been at retail, SME and micro. We are very happy that although we don't have very transparent market data, as far as per our knowledge, our micro lending subsidiary, BTMIC, with 2,000 customers and almost 100 million lei asset size, is the market leader in micro lending already. It's less than a year after its establishment. This is an encouraging factor for us. Also, if you look at the subsidiaries in general, all our subsidiaries are positively contributing to the results of the banks. Bad asset management, even passed the bank in terms of asset market share, because in their segment they have over 15% market share. And we see that our leasing subsidiaries, our investment banking arm and consumer finance companies are going to the desired places where we said that we are expecting them to be in the top three and in their own segments, and to offer similar financial performance in terms of profitability and efficiency to BT, or to the BT group. We are also in our efforts to prepare ourselves to Payment Services Directive 2, PSD2 plus, improve our digital competences. We started investing in startups as well. Our first investment had been announced as a partnership with Pago. This is a utilities payments application which has, since its very recent announcement, already almost 20,000 users and growing in an exponential manner. We think that such investments will help us to adapt to the new economy, to the new financial ecosystem, including digitalization, and some of the investments, instead of trying to do by ourselves, we might be acquiring from the market. We are under discussion with several other startups, and next year we want to offer a large platform to our SME and retail customers, where they can use several services of convenience through the BT's mobile and online banking platform. And also, as regard to, as I said, new lending policies, we can say that, we can also confirm that our new lending policies are already in place. The reorganization of business lines and thresholds have been finalized, and our corporate banking under mid-corporate and large-corporate divisions started contributing very positively to the bottom line of the bank. Besides our investments in the digital banking or technology area, you have also read recently that we have decided to invest in a participation and also go up to 100% ownership of a bank in Moldova, Victoria Bank, which we consider a very good fit in terms of partnership with EBRD, in terms of the low level of financial intermediation, the need of banking services in SME and retail segment. It's a rather small bank, although it is the third bank in Moldova with almost 17% market share. Its size is similar to one of our corporate branches. We see good potential to increase in terms of profitability. However, based on the questions we received, this is not an acquisition that we will integrate to BT. This will be a standalone operation. It is already a profitable and healthy bank. There has been lots of efforts in terms of adapting EU norms and EU banking standards, including corporate governance and transparency. We think that bringing our know-how from credit cards, from plastic cards, from agribusiness and micro-lending, we can grow the bottom line, the profitability of the bank, and definitely the market share. This is also a test. In a market, we have cultural affinity, a proximity with the same language and close ties. So that's positive. We will be also testing our own powers confidently in a new market, but in a very closed market. The transaction is expected to take at least 2 months from today, because there are certain rules and regulations that we have to respect in Moldovan capital market, in Moldovan stock exchange. So that's the first stake of 39.2% we are expecting to acquire towards the end of January 2018, and then we will go to the market with a public offer for the rest of the shares. But we see that after finalizing the first stage, already we will be having controlling shares of the bank, and we can start transferring, as I said, know-how and products. The bank doesn't need financing or capital from BT for its next few years business plan. This was a supporting factor in our decision. As regard to discussions with Bankpost, I can reconfirm, as we stated in our press release, that the discussions are actually on the commercial side. The discussions have been finalized, and now we are at the administrative and operational details finalizing, so that we are almost sure that this month we can come back with the good news back to the market. And as a final note, the litigation that we had with the fiscal authority, which our shareholders, executive management, board of directors had been following very closely. You had been asking about that, about this. The first court had been finalized, and the decision was in favor of BT, Banca Transilvania, so that it shows also the court confirms our stance, our opinion. However, if there will be an appeal, we will come back with further news on the subject. So far, thank you very much for listening, and we can switch to the questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Please lift your handset before you ask your question. Thank you for holding until we have the first question. Our first question comes from participants whose number finished 3022. Please introduce yourself before you ask your question.
Hello everyone, this is Andreas from Berenberg. Thank you for the presentation and for taking my questions. So I have a few. First on your potential acquisition of the bank in Moldova. So you did mention a little bit on the rationale behind this, but actually this is the first time that we see you going outside Romania. So what does this mean going forward? Are you looking at other countries as well? How does this change your strategy? That's the first one. Second question is about any one-offs. So as far as I understand, there is a gain from the NPL sale in cost of risk of around 96 million. And then there is the Volksbank adjustment in NII. But is there anything else anywhere in the numbers? And third and final question, it's about the cost pressure you're facing. So are you taking any specific actions to mitigate this pressure? For example, do you have any plans for staff layoffs in the future? Thank you.
Thank you, Andreas. So I see three questions. I will start in the same order that you asked. In terms of Moldova, it is not a significant strategic change. We are not announcing that we want to become a regional financial institution. We say that in order to be able to go further, in order to use our capital and liquidity in a healthy manner, Moldova could be a good platform for us to prove to you, to investors, to stakeholders, that we are up to it. And also, it was, as I said, it was a good mix of market conditions. It is like, I would say, risking to maybe to upset our Moldovan friend. Maybe it's like Romania 20 years ago. So that together with EBRD, we can recreate the story of BT, addressing the same segment. We are not going to invent products. We will transfer our products. We see that the bank has a very good credit card infrastructure, but the product that we have, which is almost market leader, is very suitable and it doesn't have any competition there. Agribusiness is not tapped. in the lending side, households are let's say mortgage loans are being taken from the developers, not from the bank. So there is a certain, let's say, especially with the changes in the government, as you have probably seen an IMF announcement, European Commission announcement, Moldova is on the right track. We have a good partnership, a good platform. So this was, how to say, we were not necessarily looking for a bank, but when we had the opportunity, we didn't want to miss it. Maybe after we managed to, let's say, give to the stakeholders enough confidence, prove to everyone that we can handle also international operations, we might be looking for different markets, different segments. But I guess, considering the trends in Moldova, we might be growing further there. First focus will be Moldova itself. So it's not a regional growth strategy.
Mm-hmm.
It has a good number of branches, quite efficient in itself, actually. It's a small operation that we can grow further, but we don't expect in the next few years it to become a leading force in our balance sheet or profitability, making, I don't know, a quarter or a third of our balance sheet and profitability. As I said, it is equal to, the size is equal to one of our corporate branches. As regard to the one-offs, except the Volksbank adjustments and the portfolio, see, there were some recoveries because of the, let's say, good market conjuncture and also trends, increased demand. We started liquidating assets at better prices and quicker. And this is, I guess, this will be the trend from now on, at least for the next few quarters. For the cost pressures, definitely, the numbers, the arithmetic shows that the pressures exist. That's why we started optimizing our branch network, consolidating some agencies, merging some agencies, so that we can tackle, because besides the cost pressure, there is also demographic pressure that it's difficult to find people. What we aim to do is that, and we don't want to, and we are not planning to have a restructuring process, but we are, we have already decreased, for example, in two quarters ago, in the, at the end of first quarter, our active employees were 7,200. We are now at 6,900. And with the natural evolution of things, I guess at the end of next year, we can, with 6,700 people, we can handle a larger balance sheet and a larger group. So efficiency will come slightly from the growth and slightly from the natural evolution of things. Technology definitely helps us because usage of mobile banking or multifunctional devices in our network is increasing exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That's very clear. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the participant whose line ends by 6273. Please introduce yourself before you ask your question.
Hello everyone, Lucian Blescu here from Wood & Company. I have a couple of questions. First one related to the Bancpost acquisition. I guess looking at the financials of the bank, one worrying factor would be the high cost to income. Is this something that, or can you provide some ideas how you will deal with this in case, of course, the acquisition goes through? Are there going to be some integration costs, or just if you can provide some more details here? And also in terms of the calendar of the disclosure, so if the transaction is concluded by the end of the month, will you disclose already the pricing, or how? What should we expect going forward in terms of the calendar? This would be one first question related to Bancpost, and second on Victoria Bank. Just if you can disclose there the pricing already. I know it's listed on the exchange, so I'm not sure what are the regulations. If you need to do the transaction in the market, or if the price there will be somehow close to the current market price. Thank you.
So, thank you, Lucian. As regards to Bancpost, definitely some guidelines we will supply to you once we sign the transaction, and probably we will arrange another conference call in order to explain the rationale of the transaction. But definitely, as you know also from the from our previous experience, the one of the let's say good parts of this acquisition is the synergies on both the revenue and cost side. So we are not buying another bank or investing in another bank to make to put cost pressures on BT. And we think that once we will give you more details after the signing, and most probably full details after the closing, because between signing and closing there might be price adjusting factors, as you may guess. We think that it's a very profitable transaction for BT and for Bankpost customers and stakeholders. Then, in terms of calendar, it depends definitely on the how to say documentation preparation on both sides. But considering that we will be signing towards the end of this month, we will immediately we would like to deposit our files to Nation Bank of Romania and Competition Council. As Nation Bank of Romania publicly announced yesterday, in any case, for our in our case, it would be well, say, a surprise. But they said that this year they don't see any transaction being being approved. Our estimation, based on our previous experience, based on let's say discussions with our consultant, is that the closing of the transaction could be, if we do our homework well, at the end of first quarter of 2018, so that taking over the bank should be starting with like 1st of April 2018. As regard to Volksbank, Victoria Bank, sorry, it's a capital market transaction. Everything will be transparent, as you said. We will. There is a the functioning of the market is a bit atypical. Not, it's not the same like Romania. So there is an auction market. The shares of the bank will be moved to the auction market, and we will be bidding there. I think the because of the volumes and because of the how to say lack of capital market investors, the price of the actual price doesn't reflect the value of the bank. However, definitely there are lots of discounting factors, including market risk, country risk. That we are factoring in. So once we will put our order in the stock exchange, you will see our evaluation and price.
All right, thank you.
We have a question from the participants whose lines end by 0618. Please introduce yourself before you ask a question.
Hi, this is Tunde Ojo from Hart & Lochner. Hi, just a couple of questions for me. It's can you make any comment around sort of the political noise that we've been hearing from Romania, particularly the one where they talked about possibility of imposing a 0.5% tax on assets for all banks in Romania? Do you have any view on that? You know, has there been anything concrete outside of that, or has it been completely taken off the table? That's my first question. The second one is on Bankpost. I know you can't give that much details about the transaction until you finalize. I respect that. But can you just maybe make any comment around why you're even interested in acquiring this bank as well? What does it bring to you? I mean, what don't you have that you can potentially get from Bankpost? You know, just to understand, you know, why this makes sense to you as the management of Bank of Transylvania. And the last part from me is on the cost pressure that you addressed earlier. You know, it seems to be recurring that, you know, your cost growth is now, you know, mid-teens, which wasn't the case in the past. So going forward, what should we expect in terms of cost growth for Banca Transilvania? Should it go back to single digits, given what you've been doing? I mean, taking off acquisition out of this just organically, or should we just assume that given the wage pressure you talked about, we should continue expecting a double-digit cost pressure, cost growth rather, on your profit and loss going forward? Thank you.
Thank you very much. As regard to the fiscal changes, since the rumor of such a banking tax levy on the banking assets have appeared, the governing party, the government, the Prime Minister said several times denied such a measure, while they were very, let's say, coherent and insisting, kind of tenacious in the changes that they declared to do, they went further. So I would take the their words as it is, because the things that they announced that they are planning to do, they did. So that going publicly a couple of times, we don't expect this banking tax to come through. On the other hand, as we were discussing, I guess, last time at a conference with some analysts and investors, such a banking tax usually puts pressure on the customers. The banks are adjusting their pricing strategies very quickly. So I repeat, I underline, our expectation is, as announced by the Prime Minister and the government, this tax not to be in place. But on the other hand, it will have very short-term impact, which will be compensated immediately if that will be the case. I guess you have seen it in neighboring countries' banking systems. Pricing policy will be adjusted immediately. As regard to Bancpost, what we could say is that definitely whenever we discuss about M&A, we say retail, SME, micro, and this is a bank which did a huge effort of cleaning balance sheet. Their bank is back at profitability. They have a very loyal customer base, a huge amount of salary conventions and package transactions with customers, which are motivating factors. So that this is, also, there are very many similarities between two banks. On the other hand, we are definitely looking to grow our stance in the southern part, where they are very strong, the southern part of the country. So basically, I could say that a solid balance sheet, improving financial numbers, very loyal customers, and also good cross sell to these customers that we will take over, and the good fit of the customer profile. Or as regard to cost pressures, one side of the medallion is that the average banking system cost to income ratio is almost 65%. So relatively we are staying good, but this doesn't definitely should not be a comforting factor for you or for anyone. That's why we have been taking measures this year. Indeed, there was especially on the human resources side, we had to take more drastic measures, because as per public information, we were one of the worst paying banks in Romania. Growing our balance sheet, becoming a local champion, our employees became target of other banks. So we were on a defensive, but now we did the adjustments. It will not be on a recurrent basis. So the increase in the personal expenses was its percentage mostly one-off. In the years to come, we will be adjusting different inflationary adjustments we will do. But as you know, we are paying mostly variable. We are very much keen on maintaining our performance evaluation and policy of variable revenues, deferred variable revenues for our personnel. That's why we don't see 2018. We will not be budgeting same numbers.
Okay.
Also, as I say, we are looking very, very much to efficiency. Now technology helps us to use less number of people for more transactions. So we are saying that while growing the bank, we might be slightly adjusting downwards our FTEs, our headcounts, but at least we will not be growing it. And so far, in the third quarter, in a single quarter, we had been taking this. This has also impacted our income statement, because while optimizing network, we had to pay some fees, penalties, and exit bonuses, which are already paid and mostly booked. That's why you see already a measure that from now on, we will see the only positive benefit, positive impact in the income statement.
Thank you. Do you mind if I have two more follow-up questions, please?
Sure.
Okay. So another question I have for you, please, is on the direction of interest rate. You know, you mentioned earlier that the inflation is beginning to trend up, and that, you know, you're seeing some sort of adjustment in the money market. What's your sort of expectation for interest rate as we go into next year, and what would that mean for your net interest margin in 2018? That's my first question. The second one is, again, on Bank Post, if you don't mind answering this question. And given what you said about the bank, it looks, you know, on a solid track, has a good balance sheet. But why is the parent company willing to sell? Is this part of the, you know, wider European banks exit from smaller countries, or something else going on there, please?
I mean, your second question is regard to the reason of selling on behalf of the sellers. They definitely they could give more details, but we know well that first of all, they have a commitment to decrease risk-weighted assets to concentrate on certain markets, and they did already this choice, so they have a commitment to exit Romania. And I guess having the capital pressures, they want to sell the assets where they will have the least capital damage at the end of a transaction.
Got it.
But as I say, I would let the seller to answer such a question fairly. In terms of net interest margin and the interest rate itself, our estimation is next year we expect interest rate to increase 150, maybe 200 basis points further from where they are. We are more on the 150 basis point side. The impact, because we have all our, almost 99% of our loan book is with variable interest rates, and we have a huge liquidity coming from current accounts as well. The impact, without, if you will, exclude competition, will be positive, so that the interest margins will slightly increase, the net interest margin. However, due to competition, most probably the increase will not be just an arithmetic one, but the initial calculation shows that with a 150 basis points increase in 6 month ROBOR, our net interest margin would increase between 25 to 50 basis points. Thank you.
Gary, thank you very much for your answers.
Our next question comes from the participant whose line finished by 0200. Please introduce yourself before you ask a question.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
So this is Cătălin Diaconu from Raiffeisen Bank. I have two questions. The first one would be, should we expect a jump in cost of risk related to IFRS 9 for the fourth quarter? So you said that at the end of the third quarter we would know the impact of IFRS 9. And the second one would be regarding the dividend policy. So given that you have such a busy schedule in terms of M&A, should we expect or what would be the impact on the dividend policy? Thank you.
Thank you, Katrin. With regards to cost of risk, as I said at the beginning, we think a normalized cost of risk of BT would be around 120 to 140 basis points, including the impact from IFRS 9. So due to selling a portfolio and good recoveries, The cost of risk now is at 0.16%, which is very good, but we don't think that it will hold up on the medium and long term. So we are making our budget and calculation for 120 basis points of cost of risk. On the other hand, as regards to dividends, definitely, as we are not doing any capital dilutive transactions, and our profitability will be above budgeted numbers, we will have enough also reserves for IFRS 9 as well. We will be definitely coming with a generous, significant dividend proposal to our board, but any number, as you know very well, should be approved first by our board of directors and then our general shareholders assembly. But as I say, we have taken also the message of the markets at the beginning of this year quite well, and we will assure that they will have an efficient capital structure at BT. Thank you.
Thank you also.
Our following question comes from the participant whose line ends 6273. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, Lucian Arblescu here from the company. Just a couple of follow-up questions, if possible. Do you see any impact on the available for sale portfolio from increasing yields in the fourth quarter 17? Can you detail a bit if there's going to be a decrease in the capital adequacy ratio or an increase in the or some loss in the P&L? And another question related to upcoming regulations. Do you see anything with impact on earnings for next year, like for example the personal insolvency regulation or vulnerable consumers or anything like that? Thank you.
Thank you, Lucian. As regard to the interest rate increase, this we have been explaining, you have seen it in our numbers as well. We did important moves in our portfolio, fixed income portfolio, in order to prepare for this increase. It was quite evident also the authorities were already mentioning it. So we don't expect any significant impact on our capital adequacy or bottom line. It will be very marginal. And then as regard to personal insolvency law, I think you have seen in Romania already there were a couple of legislation passed. The impact has been unlimited, the impact has been very limited. Also, in terms of personal insolvency law, we think that considering the growth of income levels and customers increasing interest in cooperation with the banks and a bit better communication with the customer base, we don't expect it to have a significant or strategic change in our business or bottom line figures. Thank you.
All right, thank you also.
We have a question from the participants whose line ends by 0618. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Tunde from Haden Lovna again. Just one last question for me is you mentioned capital and IFRS 9, and I was just wondering if you can give a number to what the impact of that one-time IFRS 9 adjustment is going to be on your capital adequacy come January 1st, 2018. Please.
So, George here. IFRS 9 impact will come only towards the end of the year, and since it's going to be booked in reserves, not in P&L, actually it will mean that a little bit less than what we have available as a result at the end of the year will be available for distribution by the shareholders assembly. In that sense, the capital adequacy ratio will not decrease as a result of IFRS 9. We will have, in the sense, less available for distribution because we will be using the positive results of the year to capture the results in the reserves.
Okay, and that's, what did you say the distributable reserve will drop by? What's the number you gave for that?
The impact will be marginal. I mean,
marginal, okay.
So all the banks, not only in Romania, there has been already efforts to adjust, to adapt. There are the old regulatory body, National Bank of Romania's division, is already verifying the bank's efforts and the impact, so that there are certain efforts have been already done that is preparing, and we don't see IFRS 9, as I said, in terms of profitability and net revenues, net profits, we are already at the budget level, and fourth quarter, we think it will come on top of it in a very good, with very good positive numbers, including the IFRS 9 impact.
Another comment I would have here, especially for Romania. As in Romania, the banking sector was having some prudential filters. There was always a portion which was not really considered as part of the regulatory capital by the Central Bank of Romania, and we are having gradual releases of those prudential filters. So more or less, for the banking sector in Romania, the release of such prudential filters at the end of 2017 is more or less offsetting the majority of the impact of extra reserves which are needed because of IFRS 9. So this is something which is valid mainly for the banking sector in Romania.
Got it. Thank you very much for your answers. Appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding.
Let's take one more question, and then if there are any further questions, definitely we can you can contact our investor relations, you can contact Mihaela's team, and we will come back.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have no other question. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
Then, thank you very much for joining us. I hope we could provide clear and enough information, but as I said, please do not hesitate to contact us if you need to ask further questions. And hopefully, beginning of December, we will hear each other again once we conclude our ongoing process and progress on the transaction. Until then, all the best. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.